Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6 is where we'll start. Verse 5. Let's start at verse 5. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. I was reading ahead of myself a little bit. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5 is where we'll start. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, Jesus is not condemning public prayer like we pray when we pray in a service. He's not doing that at all. Obviously, we're to pray together, and if we're to pray together, you kind of have to do it publicly. You know, that's, you get the public and church together and pray. All right, so he's not talking about it, but he's talking about men who love to pray for the purpose of being seen by men as being pious. They're not really praying to God. They're like the Pharisee that was there in the temple with the publican, and the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. Okay, so that's not what it's talking about. It's not condemning public prayer, but you shouldn't pray just so you can be seen of men. You should pray to be heard of God. All right. So in verse 7, he says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they that think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have of before ye ask him." And then after that he goes into what everybody calls the Lord's Prayer. But he said, "After this manner, therefore pray ye." In other words, he's after this manner. He didn't say repeat this verbatim constantly as a prayer. He said, I mean, there's nothing wrong with repeating it to remember it, but it's not there to be a prayer that is given in repetition. He just told them, don't be like the heathen and pray in vain repetition. Trust me, you saying it more is not going to bend God's will. You praying from your heart is the thing that God's looking for. Not just you saying it a bunch of times. He just said, don't be like the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard by their much speaking. No, God's not interested in how long you can keep it up and how many times you can say it. He's interested in what's in your heart. Do you really want to do it? Do you really want to be it? Do you really want God to intervene in your life? Do you want that? So he said, "Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." In other words, we're supposed to look at these things and pray for these things. We don't have to use the same words, but these are focus of prayers, things that God's people should be praying for. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." So we see things that we're supposed to pray for. Pray for God's will. We're supposed to hallow His name. We're supposed to pray for His kingdom to come, His will to be done. We're supposed to pray for our needs. We're supposed to pray for forgiveness and forgive others as well. And then we're supposed to give Him pray that we'd be kept from temptation and evil. And then praise Him for who He is. All those things are there in that prayer. But at the end of all that, He says this. In verse 14, he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And so this morning, I want to take some time and talk to you about forgiveness. I want to talk to you about forgiveness. You know, if there's anything that can derail a Christian's life, it's an unforgiving spirit, the unwillingness to forgive. Yeah, as a Christian, as a young Christian, I had to deal with a lot of things from my past. Okay? I did not have a good life. I could tell you things that were done to me as a child that would shock you. I had a member of my family threaten to come up and smother me in my sleep. Of course, my mama left when I was a year and a half old, and for most part of my life, I didn't know who she was, but I never had a good thing to say for her. My dad never said a good thing about her. He never forgave her, and that I know of, and at least not while he was raising me, he didn't. And all I ever heard was bad about her, and I never heard anything bad, good about her. The only person that ever said anything was my Aunt Mildred, and you know, she just told us, well, it wasn't all your mama's fault. It was your daddy's fault too. But you know, all my life I sat there, and when somebody mentioned my mama and my older sister, she was like, boy, I wish we could find mama. And I said, I don't care. She don't love me, I don't love her. And when I learned to cuss, I learned to cuss her. But when I got saved in August of 1983 and began to read the Bible, I began to realize that I had to, that it was my responsibility to forgive her and honor her and all those things. So I began to pray for her. And I've told you the story how my mama made a profession of faith in her later years and was even teaching Sunday school, and how I got to preach at her funeral. And those to me are miraculous things. And I'm talking about years of prayer for her, just as others prayed for me for years. And the fact is that I had to choose to forgive my mother and forgive other people who had done me wrong. And I could, you know, I just gave you one instance of a bad thing that happened to me. As a child, an adult member of my family threatened me. That's tough for a child, isn't it? It'd be a tough thing for a little child to deal with. I had to learn to forgive. I didn't grow up in a great home. I wished I had. I wish with all my heart I'd have grown up in a Christian family. But I didn't. And so there's a lot of things I had to learn to forgive. And throughout our lives, we have to learn to forgive. And you know, to forgive, we have that old saying, that old adage, to err is human, but forgive is divine. And that adage came from the idea that God is the one that grants forgiveness. God is the one. We are lost sinners. And God, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, forgives. If you're here today and you're lost, you can be forgiven because God is a forgiving God. God desired to grant forgiveness so much that Jesus shed His blood on Calvary's cross and bore my sins in His own body on the tree, and your sins in His own body on Calvary's tree, and shed His blood and died in our place and bore the judgment of God, cried out on Calvary's cross, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That's not what He should have cried out. That's what I should have cried out. That's what you should have cried out. And Jesus shed His blood on Calvary's cross and paid the penalty for sin, and He rose from the dead, and He proved that He paid it in full. And now the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah for that. That means God forgives sins. And that didn't just purchase me the forgiveness of my sins in the sense being saved from hell for all eternity. It also purchased for me the ability, when I fail as a Christian, to get my heart back right with God. And we've got 1 John 1:9. You say, why do you quote 1 John 1:9? Because I like it. I love it. Because it tells me, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I fail as a Christian. I can now go and become and get right with God and be fit to serve God. I can get up from there, put the past behind me, and start stepping the way I'm supposed to. Start observing to do. And if I fall down again, I can get back up. And if I fall down again, I can get back up. That's purchased by the blood of Jesus. That forgiveness of God. God is a forgiving God. How dare we thumb our noses at such grace and mercy? Think about that. But for us to be like God, forgiving is paramount. And you know, the Bible tells us something about a lot. There's a lot to be said about forgiveness. Matthew, we just read Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, rather. And then in Matthew chapter 18, it said, then Peter came. You can turn over there if you will, Matthew chapter 18. And Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. Then Peter came to Him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And then He gave the account of the servants that which owed Him 10,000 talents. And He fell down and worshipped Him and said, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him his debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went out and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass. I want to tell you something. A lot of people live their lives in torment, and they can't seem to get out and get right with God and get things fixed, and they try and try and try and try to get right with God, but they won't forgive somebody, and so they get no relief. They're still tormented by their sins. They're still feel far apart from God, and they're still, and God's going to deal with that. It's important that we forgive. If you go over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, we used to teach our kids, Sister Denise used to teach the kids a lesson. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. She used to sing a little song. Kids, listen to this song. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be ye kind, one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, Ephesians 4:32. Be good if we all learn that. Be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as who? God? For whose sake? Christ did what? Forgave you. Forgive the way God says. Kids, y'all need to remember that song. It'll help you out. Ephesians 4:32. All right. I ought to make everybody sing it, you reckon? Just get everybody to sing it about five or six times. Get it burned into your head. That'd be a good thing. You know, and you have to deal with things all the time. There are things that happen in our lives where people wrong us, where people are unkind, where people do all kinds of things, and we're told to forgive. By the way, until you forgive, you're never going to be free. It's always going to be something. Have you ever noticed people that like to hold on to every little hurt that ever happened to them? You ought to get to the point where you just forget all those things. You know, remember that passage in the book of Philippians? Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, we always read that as, well, forget our sins. Don't worry about our sins. No, not just your sins you need to forget. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our sins from us. He's dropped them in the sea of forgetfulness. Right? In other words, God chose to forget them. That passage is there. Mark chapter 11, verse 25, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Luke 6:37, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Luke 17, verse 3, take heed to yourselves. In other words, you need to be careful about this. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Well, did he really mean it? Only he and God know that. Only she and God know that. And don't worry, it'll come out in the wash. Not your business. What's your business? Your business is to forgive. And if you're still holding something against somebody, you haven't forgiven. If every time they fail, and parents, you need to understand this about your kids too. You know, the Bible talks about fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged. One of the ways we do that is not to forgive them. Every time they fail, you got to bring it back up. Every other time they failed, it has to be on the menu to remind them how sorry they are. And it's not just parents towards children. It's people against others, brothers and sisters, and whatever the case may be. You got to go back in every hurt, everything that anybody's ever done to you. You know what? What would your life be like if you did that for every sin you committed against somebody? Why don't you take stock of all those? Oh no, we need to forget those, don't we? I've had people sit there and say to me, we've had people make a profession of faith, and I've had people look at me and say, well, preacher, can we have a man like that or a person like that in our church? I don't know, my Bible says, behold, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. If he's not sincere, we'll find out soon enough. Give him time to grow up. Most of us wouldn't want the Apostle Paul in our church. If he came in the day after he got saved, well, he's a murderer. No, he's not. God saved him. Something we need to think about, forgiveness. It's important. In the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, there's talking about somebody that committed a grievous sin in the church and was cast out of the church. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul talks about that person. He says, so that contrarywise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. There is a need among Christians for forgiveness. And we ought to be the first ones, the most willing to forgive, because we know what it is to be forgiven. I'm afraid sometimes we have a bunch of people in our churches that are like this one fella that I remember a dear brother in the Lord, Brother Mike Jones. We were out soul winning one time, and Brother Jones, he's sitting there talking to this guy, and he asked the guy, he shared the gospel with him. He said, do you want to get saved? And he said, yes, I do. And he said, will you pray right now and ask the Lord to save you? He said, yes, I will, but he said, could you help me pray? And Brother Jones said, sure. And he said, Lord, he said, you just repeat after me and you mean this with all your heart. And he said, Lord, I'm a low down, sorry, hell deserving sinner. And a man looked at him and said, I'm not that bad. People that don't forgive are looking at themselves saying, I'm not that bad. It's people that have that attitude that not only hurt other people by not forgiving, but they hurt themselves. They deny themselves forgiveness. Are you denying yourself forgiveness from God today because there's somebody you won't forgive? I'm just giving you what the Bible says. Let me ask you a question. You know, every one of us, the Bible says, shall stand before the judgment of seat of Christ and give an account of what we've done in this body, whether good or bad. And in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it tells us that every man will be tried by fire, right? And every man's work, if it's wood, hay, stubble, something that's of no eternal value, it will be burned up. And if it's gold, silver, precious stones, anything that abides the fire, you will receive a reward. Yet he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Do you want to enter into heaven smelling the smoke? Would you like to deal with your unforgiveness at the judgment seat of Christ? Or would you rather deal with it at an altar here on earth? Where would you like to deal with it? You can hold on to it all you want, but you're going to deal with it when you get to heaven. That's a fact. And beloved, all I can say is we are here, those of us who truly know Christ as our Savior, we understand what it is to be forgiven. Those of us who truly see ourselves as we are, a sinner deserving hell, we can look at others and have compassion. You know, we'll be going into the jail tonight, and I'll be honest with you, I'm comfortable going in the jail. It doesn't bother me to be with those people. One, because I have the answer for those people. Same answer for that I need. But I go in there and I don't see myself as an upstanding, righteous person and them as sorry criminals and everything like that. I don't see them as that. I don't see myself as better than them. Because I know I deserve to go to hell. And it doesn't matter all the bad things that were done to me when I was a child. I still deserve to go to hell. For the things that I've done to other people. I deserve to go to hell because of that, because of my sins. Other people will account to God for their sins. But since I've been a Christian, there's one sin that I need to make sure that I don't hang on to, and that's unforgiveness. Amen. It will hurt you. It will torment you. It will hinder you from having the relationship with God. At the back of your mind, there will always be that nagging thing where you go to God and pray and ask God to help you, and it'll always be this nagging thing that there's something between you and the Lord that needs to be settled. I know people can be awful ugly. And I didn't have to experience a lot of ugliness to find that out. All I really had to do was look in the mirror with an honest heart. People can be ugly. People can be unkind. People can be cruel. People can be vindictive. People can be unforgiving. But a Christian cannot live that way. I don't know where you are today. You may be here today and you may say, "Well, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know if I die today, I go to heaven. I know my sins are forgiven, but I'll tell you now, you can have that assurance and still be in torment spiritually because of your unwillingness to forgive someone. You may be here today and say, "Preacher, I don't even know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I don't know." I got good news for you. You can know. You can know your sins are forgiven. You can know you have God's forgiveness. And that's the forgiveness that matters the most of all. There are two forgivenesses in the life of a Christian that matter. The first is God's forgiveness for your sins, salvation. And the second is us learning to forgive other people. I guarantee you, you win that battle, you learn to give those things to God and put them behind, you learn to deal with each individual instance as one instance, you learn to do that, you'll know what Christian liberty is. You'll learn that. There are granted times that patterns of behavior need to be discussed. I understand that, but that's not what I'm talking about. There's a difference in talking to somebody about a pattern of behavior, trying to help them, and holding it against them. Big difference between the two. Now think about that. Isn't it amazing? Jesus taught them to pray. He taught them to the things that they ought to pray for, and the type of prayers that they ought to have, and the things they ought to pray for. All those things that are there. He taught them to praise Him, and He taught them to desire heavenly things, and He taught them all these things that they're supposed to pray for. And He ends up with this, and there's one verse in that passage of Scripture, in that model prayer, if you will, in that manner which He told them to pray. Just one verse. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Just that one verse. But then when He goes to summarize, what verse does He go back to? Goes back to forgiveness. Forgive us as we're forgiven. Forgive us as we forgive. Verse 19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moss and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want to tell you something. You need to look at unforgiveness as a thief. As something that's taking something away from you. I can tell you one thing it's taking away. It's taking away your freedom. It's taking away your liberty. It's taking away your peace. It's taking away your joy. Or you be an unforgiving person, you can see somebody that's done you wrong, and you can see something good happen to them, and it just burns you up on the inside. And you end up being mad because somehow they didn't get what they deserved. By the way, I just got something to say to you. There's coming a day where every one of us will get what we deserve, isn't it? Right. Yeah. Whether somebody gets what they deserve in your business, do you realize that? Not your business. It's our business to be like our Heavenly Father and forgive. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for the fact that through the grace of God we can indeed forgive others just as You forgave us. And Lord, we just as You forgave us for Christ's sake we can forgive others. We can forgive one another. And Lord, if there is one that's here today that doesn't know for sure if they go to heaven, or can't say why they should go to heaven, or maybe they think that they should go to heaven because they're good and somehow that They didn't need Jesus to die for them. I pray you'd open their eyes to see how foolish that is, and to see how much you love them, and to see how Jesus died and shed his blood as payment for their sins and rose from the dead. Lord, I pray that today would be the day they would humble themselves and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, call upon him. And you said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, help us to rejoice in our forgiveness, but Lord, also help us to rejoice in the fact that we can indeed forgive others. Father, I remember the story of a lady by the name of Corrie Ten Boom who was in a Nazi concentration camp and made it through there and got out of there as a Christian. And then while she was speaking one day, one of the guards came to her and held out his hand and asked her forgiveness. And she remembered him and remembered all the wicked things he'd done, and but by the grace of God took his hand and learned the joy of forgiving somebody even for the most heinous things. Lord, I pray we'd learn those lessons. I pray we'd learn what we gain by forgiving others. Help us, we pray. Again, if there's one that's lost, we pray for their salvation. And Father, as we take our break, we just pray you'd help us to take stock of our hearts. And if there's aught that we have against any, that we just simply forgive. Not worry about whether they deserve forgiveness, but simply forgive. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.